Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for listening this morning. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. So please feel free to send me an email. If you have any questions, comments, guests you want to have in, that would be great. And also, I give a lot of things away. Just recently, I want to give a shout-out to Adrena for listening to the show. She won a book recently. A CD recently, and of Tasha Taylor's, a new singer. She's the daughter of Johnny Taylor. But also I have lots of books. Sometimes I give away restaurant dinners to nice star restaurants in the area, movie tickets, all kinds of stuff. So please follow on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook. But right now we're going to be talking to women. You got your fans out? I mean, this brother is hot. You hear that? That's the sizzle on his six-pack, or is it an eight-pack, or a ten-pack, whatever he has going on. You want to check this brother out. He's doing also a lot of positive things. He is a two-time Golden Glove winner. He's a model. He's a fitness guru, helping people stay in shape and get in shape. You want to check out his website, getingo.com. That's getingo.com. His name is Ngoli Oyenka Okafor. And he's American, but his parents are Nigerian. They're Igbo. And I believe this is him on the line right now. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you doing?
How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you for coming on the show. I should say Imela. Yes, thank you. And Kedu, how are you? Yeah, fine. He said, fine, thank you. We're speaking in Igbo here a little bit, just to make him at ease. But let's start off with the fact that I think you're a bit of a nerd. People may not realize that. What's with the CAD software? You were teaching CAD software?
Yeah, I was. Being raised by African parents, you have to... You know, they're more, most African parents are science oriented, you know, like they want you to go to college, get a degree that will guarantee you a job because, you know, life was hard for them growing up, so they don't want their children to go through all that. So, so that's where I started. I started out as a computer science major and started teaching CAD, which is computer-aided design, to architects and engineers. And that's what I did for, quite a while before I started modeling. And that was, I was an engineering, head. I was a math, person, physics, all that.
That's an impressive first time. Yeah. Before you got into modeling, you were a nerd. That's okay. I'm a nerd. I'm a geek. I'm proud of it. Just raise your fist to the air, type of thing. But now modeling. Now, that takes a lot of confidence. Some of the pictures I posted, you're not wearing any clothes, you're not wearing any clothes. what was your first modeling gig?
My first modeling gig was for a company called Paco Jeans. This was a little while back. The ad was in Source Magazine, XXL. This was when early days. I don't even know if the company's still in business, but they were the first company to hire me to do a job, and I was so excited.
Yeah. What was your most difficult modeling shoot? Something you had to do that was uncomfortable, a pose, was there some position that you felt was you were uncomfortable at any photo shoots?
Well, I would say the most difficult one was a commercial that we shot in Barcelona, Spain. And it was supposed to be a two-day shoot, but it stretched it out to 3 days. And it was for a cell phone company. And we had to run all over, like, different locations in Barcelona. So, you know, we would run, like, when I say run, I'm talking about sprinting fast. So we would sprint fast, and we'll get to the direct, you know, we'll get to the close to the camera, and the director would be like, well, could you do that again now, but even faster? I'm like, why don't you come and try running these sprints and see how easy it is, or how, you know, let me show you how hard it is. So we ran so much, and we were like, you know, so sore, and we had to come back again and do it the next day and run just as hard and do it again. So it was 3 days of running like this. We were all, you know, all of us that did that job were just broken down and limping to the airport. That was my hardest job.
That was hard. Now you know, I have to ask a question. You're taking your clothes off. Did you feel comfortable doing that? Were you nervous? I mean, did you have to do some kind of prep? I mean, a lot of models have to take their clothes off when they get big. You have a shot with Giselle, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Were you fine? I mean, were you cool? You were cool as a cucumber, or were you, like, nervous, like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm doing this?
I was never nervous about, you know, taking my clothes off because, you know, like, I'm confident that I'm in good shape. So, you know, and it's not, you know, everybody there is working. You know, the lighting people, the camera people, everybody's working. So for me, in my mind, I wasn't, you know, it didn't bother me at all. You know, she had her, you know, she wasn't wearing, you know, much clothes either. So it was all you do is just focus in on her and you're good. You know, it almost feels like it's just the two of you working and everybody else is just kind of not there. So once you can do that.
Yeah, you kind of block them out.
Yeah, you can block everybody else out, you know.
So what did your parents think? What did your parents think? I know you said your parents, I mean, initially you said they were like, oh, my God, I've read different interviews you've had, and your parents were like, whoa, we don't want you to do this. Are they more comfortable now with you modeling? Also, your acting in different TV shows and movies, commercials, are they more comfortable now with that?
Yeah, they've come around a lot. You know, in the beginning, they were they didn't really know what the business was. They didn't understand what the business was. So they, you know, they would always be like, you know, when are you going back to work? When are you gonna get a real job, you know?
A real job, right.
A real job, you know. So, but over time, and, you know, they started seeing more of my work and seeing me more in TV and in movies. Then they were started to think, okay, you know, he could pay his bills with this, and he won't come back and, you know, ask us for money, or he won't be out of the street homeless. So they started to relax, and now they actually, you know, they respect what I'm doing. So, you know, I'm
mm-hmm,
happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's always
now,
good to have the support, you know?
Yeah, you need your family because there's some obstacles that you're going to face. And one of the, I would say, highlight is that you started boxing when you were older. You were in your 30s. You weren't, you know, 18 or 20. So, like, you know, where's this transition from the nerves and modeling and then now the boxing and then winning, not just one but two? What was your mindset? What did you do to prep? You know, what type of training did you do to prep to win these boxing championships?
Well, my everything with boxing started because I just wanted to change up my workout. You know, I would usually just lift weights, but then I would lift weights, but I would run or ride the bike, you know, to do cardio to keep me lean, right? But I had done that for so many years, and I was getting bored of doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. So I wanted to change up my workout and do something different. So I figured, let me try boxing. Everybody says it's a good workout, it's good cardio. So I started doing it, and I fell in love with it. And I just was like, let me see where, you know, because I'm really competitive. So I'm like, let me see where I can go with this. And went to the boxing gym and saw guys hitting the bag and doing pad work with their trainers. And I just fell in love with it. And I was like, you know, I want to do this. And started training, and the golden gloves were coming up soon. So I did that. It was like 5 months after I started, I did the golden gloves. I lost that first
fight.
Wait, five months
after. You said you had the confidence to say, I'm going to go up here, and I'm going to beat the crap out of this dude, and I'm going to try to win this. I mean, that does take a lot of confidence. Is that from your parents, you think? Is that just some internal, I mean, where did that level of confidence come from? Because that takes balls, literally, you know, to go up there and be like, I'm going to beat this dude down, you know?
I think a lot of it came from my dad because, he worked real hard and he believed in himself. Like, he came literally, when people say he came from nothing, he grew up in this little thatched house in like a small town in Nigeria, focused on books, and went from there, went on all scholarships and got into a PhD from Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so from a tiny little shack with no bathroom in a small town in Nigeria to a PhD from Harvard. You know what I mean? So with that, you know, just seeing that and watching the way he lived and how hard he worked and what he was able to achieve in a short time, I just thought to myself, you know, if he can do it, why can't I do it, you know?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I was just like, you know, I'm going to, if I can put my mind to it and train, I would be able to do anything. So I had my first fight after 5 months. I lost that fight. But then I went back, I trained, I used, like, all the anger and from that fight, and I just channeled it into my training. And then in 2008, I came back. And, I just felt that this would be something to number one, to prove that I can play sports at a high level. You know, being a kid, you always dream about playing sports, you know.
it's cool as an older person maybe to be a geek, like, okay, that you're smart and intelligent and capable. But when you're a kid, it's better to be the fighter and the scrapper on the schoolyard. Being a geek in the schoolyard is not necessarily the fun place, you know. So I can imagine. Yeah. But now you're doing a lot of positive things. You're using the money. You're doing a calendar. You've done a calendar, and that money from your calendar is going. Talk to the audience about that. Where the money is going from your calendar?
Yeah. Well, the proceeds from my calendar I'm using to actually provide boxing equipment for kids. Underprivileged kids coming up in Nigeria, because I believe that boxing can give kids an outlet, you know, just a positive outlet to get all that energy out. And also, give them skills that will give them a way out of their situation. And I'm taking that even a step further, because I'm not, initially I was just going to give sports equipment. Like, I was going to give shoes, headgear, mouthpieces, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I'm going to take it a step further, because instead of giving someone a fish, you should teach them how to fish.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So they have, a skill that will change their lives. So what I'm working on already is building a nonprofit to raise money to go home and develop, or not develop because it kind of exists, but it's not very strong, but build a better amateur boxing program in Nigeria so that these kids coming up can get the proper training, like world class, so they can compete with the rest of the kids in the world. You know,
that's the key right there. the key right there you're talking about is skills, and that's true for anybody, no matter where they are in the world, is having a set of marketable skills that will help them move and navigate in their lives. And the skills that you use in sports, you can use in your day-to-day life, your day-to-day interactions, you know, the discipline that you need. I mean, you have a lot of discipline because your body always has to be on point. I posted some of the videos of you working out. One of the videos you're working out, you were pulling this, like, bunch of weights on, like, a rack.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. That was, like, I got a workout watching you, like, dang. He's pulling this thing, like, 3-4 times back across the floor, and then you were doing your, you know, sit-ups. So talk to me about that. Like, what was that called again? I can't remember right now, but you were pulling that bunch of weights and bags of, like, a sand or something.
That's a sled that's at my gym. I actually used that equipment to train a lot while I was fighting, because in my head I just thought if I can push nearly twice the weight of the person I'm fighting, there's nothing they can do to me, you know, because I already know what the weight of the heaviest person would be. So if I load up this, you know, this machine and I push it back and forth, number one, my legs would be strong. So when I push this person or when I hit this person, they're going to feel my power. You know, and a lot of times when people feel that much power, they don't, you know, they don't want to engage. You know, so
I think about Mike Tyson and his one. He didn't throw a lot. He wasn't like fast and swervy, you know. Like Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was like a dancer, but Mike Tyson was just like, I don't know, a refrigerator, just like bam, and then that was it. You know, there were no questions asked. You got hit by Mike Tyson. You're just lucky that you were alive. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Who are some of your idols?
Mike Tyson.
Evander Holyfield
is one of, you know, is the guy that I watch so much because he was a small heavyweight. When I say small, he was on the lighter side. He was about my weight, and he came up from being even lighter than me, and he's fighting guys that are, you know, 40 pounds heavier than him and beating them, knocking them out, you know, and his work ethic was amazing. Mike Tyson's work ethic when he had his original trainer was crazy too, you know. So for me, I believe that, you know, like, I watch the guys that work hard, you know, Floyd Mayweather, guys like that, you know. These are guys that work so hard that when they get in the ring, it almost, a lot of the fights look easy because they're so, you know, they're much better prepared than their opponent. You know, Mike Tyson was knocking everybody out because he was faster than everybody and in better shape than everybody. You know, people just thought it was a fluke, but he had a lot of speed, and that speed was his power. You know, so when he would come in there, he would throw punches so fast, and those guys have never seen punches coming at them that fast. That's why he would take them out so quickly.
Let me just talk about that issue of being prepared and helping the kids is so important, because opportunity will knock, but if you're not prepared to answer, then you're going to be at a loss in life. You know, there's a lot of opportunities that may come across our path, but, oh, no, I didn't study, or I didn't make that call, or, you know, I didn't do the paper or something, and then the opportunity is lost. And that's especially important for minorities to be prepared, I think, and have those skills, whether it's in sports or modeling. Let's talk a little bit. I want to give my sympathies to you, because I know recently you had a loss in your family, so I want to tell you, you have my sympathies and your family and my prayers. I saw that on your blog. How do you deal with adversity in terms of maybe even racism in the modeling industry? Did you deal with racism in boxing? Talk to me about that.
Well, in sports and modeling are a little bit different. You don't really deal with, boxing is a lot of, and a lot of people in boxing are black people, so with that, it's the norm for us to be, you know, to be black, so that was not a problem there. But in modeling, yes, there is. You know, you have to, you know, when you walk in the door, for, you know, a lot of reasons, there's less work for us in modeling and acting. That's a given. When you walk in the door, you, in a lot of people's minds, they believe that you're bigger than you actually are. You know, like I've walked in the door and they're like, oh, you won't be able to fit the clothes. And I'm like, just give me the jacket. I know that I can fit the jacket. I know what size I am. Because you have muscle and you're black, they're like, oh, you know, he's too big. He's too big.
How tall are you? How tall are you and how much do you weigh now?
6'3". I weigh 195 pounds. So, you know, in pictures,
is that a good weight for you now?
Say that again?
Is that a good weight for your modeling, for your height, or are you, like, on off-season, or do you constantly
You know, I'm bigger than a lot of the guys that I work with, but, you know, for me, I'm happy at this weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm happy at this weight. I'm effective as a boxer. And, you know, I'm in shape. So, yeah, there's some modeling work that I'm not going to get because of my size. But I'm rather, you know, I'd rather be happy than be at a size that I don't feel.
You're stressed out.
You know, like I've always wanted to be this size from when I was a kid. Uh-huh. And what it, you know, at the end of the day, happiness is more important to me than booking every job.
Well, we got to talk about the women. And well, I'm going to be nice with you. I'm going to be gentle. Okay, let's say, do you have a special person you like? Because that's the question that the women are asking. And if not, what are you looking for in a partner in your life?
Well, I have a girlfriend.
Okay.
And what
drew you to your girlfriend? What qualities drew you to your girlfriend?
You said what drew me to her?
Yes.
We met on the photo shoot actually, and she's very strong, you know, very very stubborn, you know. But she has her own, you know, she has her own ideas, and she's very, you know, I'm drawn to strength, independence, and freedom, you know, because that's what I think, that's what I value, you know. She always, you know, doesn't wait for me to, you know, just give her approval. Like, she has her own ideas, her own thoughts, and that I think is very attractive, and just be true, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
So now, what do you eat in the morning? What do you eat in the morning? Are you eating egg whites? Are you eating fruit? I mean, how do you diet wise keep your shape?
Well, I mean, I try to do everything in proportion. You know, I don't believe in starving myself, but at the same time, because I do so much training, I have to eat more, you know. Just
how many calories do you think you consume? How many calories do you think you consume in a day?
I don't check calories.
Okay.
I eat. I've done this for so long that I know how my body feels.
Okay.
You know, so as I'm training, I can tell when to eat more or to eat less. You know, the less active I am, the less I eat. The more active I am, the more I eat. You know, but my advice to people, you know, if somebody's trying to, you know, to get in better shape and maybe lose some weight, my advice would be to stick to lean proteins and vegetables. You know, like I would say, like chicken, egg whites, you know, a nice healthy steak without a lot of fat on it, fish, and vegetables. You know, that's the best way to to do it, keep your carbohydrates low, like keep the rice low, potatoes, definitely keep the pasta very, very low.
Because keep the pasta low. I mean, what I always tell people is colors in their diet, having a lot of different colors. So if you're eating vegetables, there's so many different kinds of vegetables. You know, broccoli is not the only vegetable out there. So, you know, spinach and beets or, you know, potatoes, but like yams, all different types of things are out there that you can eat, you know, snap peas or, you know, just so it makes variety. I think that helps your diet. It also gives different nutrients, you know, to stay strong. But, well, I just want to wish you much success.
Also one more, you know, one more pasta, bread. All the bread family, if you're trying to control your weight or lose weight, you have to keep all that processed carbohydrates. You know, keep that or cut that out. You know, keep it low or cut it out completely.
You heard it here first. No pasta, people. No bread. if you want to lose weight.
People actually eat pasta if they want to gain weight. So if you're trying to lose weight, you know, that's not the food to eat, you know?
Not the food to eat. So what's up next for you? What's going to happen next for you? You said you're trying to make this nonprofit
I'm working on the nonprofit. I'm also in the process of, you know, producing my documentary. I've been working on it for a while. We're actually getting close. Once the trailer's done, Joy, I'm gonna send you a copy of it.
I'm going to
Nigeria soon, and we'll be shooting that trip as well. So all this is coming up within the next couple of months. So
there's a lot going on.
Filmmaker is my next title.
Filmmaker, okay. Well, I'll definitely have to stay in touch, and I want to, now don't laugh, I'm going to try to say this to you, Ije Omadiri.
Say that one more time.
Ije Omadiri.
Ije Omadiri, which means, Ije Oma is good things unto you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Imela.
Thank you, Dalo.
Yes. You have a wonderful Saturday and a wonderful week. So please definitely come back so we can talk about the documentary and your nonprofit once it blossoms up. I would definitely love to have you back on.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Joy, and thank you, everybody, for listening. I had a great time, and everybody have a great day. Joy, you have a wonderful day and weekend. And definitely, once things are rolling with the documentary, I'm gonna send you stuff and hopefully be back on the show.
Definitely. And everybody, just check out his website, getingo.com. A lot of wonderful pictures, purchase his calendar, support a brother doing some positive things. Thank you so much, Ingo.
Remember, yes, it's GETINGO.
GETINGO. Yep, you heard it here first. I have it on my website. I can tweet about it, LinkedIn about it, Facebooking about it. We got you out there, brother.
All right.
Have a nice
day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show today. Please stay tuned. I'll be speaking with Ellis Cook, journalist, author, The End of Anger. So stay tuned for that. The call-in number is 646-929-0368. I wish everybody a wonderful Saturday, a great week. Follow me on twitter.com/JoyKeys. Become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Morning with Joy Keys.